game of the year in week 8. Ray Brewer was there. Arborview Faith Lutheran had a lot of hype, lived up to it, and then some. This is Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer, who, as I said earlier, you were there. Arborview 10, Faith Lutheran 7. What was it like? What did you take away from that game?
Well, a few things. The last points of that game were scored midway through the second quarter. How odd is that?
For high school football, pretty odd. It seems like the scores have been on the rise for the most part.
Yeah, in all football. I mean, the offenses are more dynamic. The rules in terms of protecting the quarterback, it's all pass interference. But, you know, it was – how many weeks in a row have we come into this podcast studio and talked about a game that we're going to go to that's going to be the game of the week, right? And we get there, and it's like, oh, great. You know, Team A's up by 20 before, you know, the end of the first quarter. So here's a game back and forth, really physical, some hard hitting. Arborview wasn't able to neither team really thrived around the ball. Faith Lutheran was struggling to pass the ball. And then at the end, they got a few long passes. And next thing you know, Faith knocking on the door. And I'm like, uh-oh. You know, if they, you know, at the very minimum, they're in field goal range. So this could be an upset. I think Faith Lutheran might beat Arborview. Arborview hangs on. Niles, and I can't say this kid's last name, Scafati Boyce, with the interception to seal the game in the corner of the end zone, CK. And what a great catch, bro. I mean, like, did you see any tape of that on Twitter at all?
I think I saw a photo. I don't know if I saw the
dude, that was like a big league interception.
Yeah, I had to go up in the air, unbelievable, pull it down.
Body control in the corner of the end zone. And that's a college quarterback you picked off, right? Grönhauer's committed to Idaho State. Just a great play. So just when you would always think that Arborview was going to pull away, Faith Lutheran would stop him and get the ball back. Keegan Touchstone had a nice long catch for the Patriots. Greg Oliver almost had a catch in the corner of the end zone before the interception that would have given them the dub. Peyton Thornton with the touchdown for Faith Lutheran, who, let's be honest, unless you're on the Desert Pines bandwagon, this will probably be the championship game in the Mountain Region. So we'll get this one again.
Yeah, I think looking over, listening to what you said and looking over the stats, another thing, a lot of times when you see games like this that are really close with a power like Arborview, there are some things in there that enabled that. You know, maybe it was kind of a fluky result, but this looks as close as the score indicated. I mean, both teams were able to move the ball a little bit, probably should have scored more points, but, I mean, this wasn't like one team marching up and down the field and fumbling or making a dumb mistake. This was a... you know, at least from the looks of it, from the stats in your report, pretty evenly matched throughout.
Yeah, Arborview had about 250 yards. Faith Lutheran a little lower. The Kyle Graham kid had about 150 yards on 30 carries. So, I mean, and this was out. The DJ Heckard kid didn't play for Faith Lutheran. He was out. So the Faith defense was great up front. They just couldn't get anything going in the passing game. Grönhauer was, I think he only completed a handful of passes, probably like 12.
Yeah, 12 for 32.
12 for 32, yeah. So just a great game, hard-hitting. I look for these two teams to possibly meet up again in the championship game. Great game.
I do think, not to toot our own horn too loud, but I think we nailed it last week on the podcast by saying that the Arborview defense was going to be the difference. It just seemed like they were able to make one more stop, get one more turnover than Faith Lutheran. I mean, this is just an exceptional defense, and it's kind of interesting the situation. I guess two programs we always juxtapose and look next to each other and say who's second best, Liberty and Arborview, they're kind of in the same boat this year. Both of them have had some struggles offensively, but defensively, you can make the case they're maybe stronger than ever.
Yeah, and I think both defensively are stopping the run. And obviously the team to beat is Gorman, the 9-time defending state champs. And Gorman's passing game isn't great. And its running game is, you know, it's looked better the last 2 weeks, obviously. As
still not what it used to be.
Yeah, I think it's as they got into local play. So I think that, you know, Gorman, for me, still the favorite after watching Arbor, Faith, and Liberty play. It's just the way the cookie crumbles, right? Wrong year. If we were talking about previous offenses for Liberty, I think they'd have a sincere chance to beat Bishop Gorman.
Yeah, and I don't think we mentioned Arborview's one touchdown, a long Logan Bollinger run. How would you expect to get your own point, your only points?
Yeah, and
your quarterback breaks loose.
Pretty nifty play. You know, the it's modern football. What do they call it? Like, you listen to TV and it's like, hey, we got RPO. You know what RPO is?
RPO? No.
Run pass option.
Oh, yeah.
Are you listening? Do you listen to the games when you watch them?
I thought you were going for something different. I a lot of times I actually don't listen to the games when I watch them. But
you watch them on mute?
Yeah. Not all the time, but a lot of times. Really? I can't take most commentators. Yeah.
I'm not a big commentator guy either, but if I don't have it on, then I could hear, you know, the Disney Channel on the iPads.
Yeah, if it was the commentators or Disney Channel, I might be with you. But I thought you were going for something totally different.
But it wasn't a run pass, but it was one of those things where Bollinger had to choose to keep it himself or give it to Bubba, and he kept it himself. It was a real nifty play, and great environment. Both sides were really packed. The parking lot at Faith is a disaster, though. An absolute disaster.
Yeah.
Have you been there before?
I only been there once ever.
Oh, my God.
And it took me forever to find a parking spot. I think they had like a little additional
lot
kind of far away. I ended up parking there.
Yeah, they got a park where you could park at, but that was even full. So I had to park at like the back end and walk over. But either way, we made it. It was a great environment. It's getting a little cooler out. It reminds me of back in the 80s when I fell in love with high school football here. And you'd get like Valley against Shap or Eldo against Shap, Clark against Shap, and just a lot of running plays, running game, low scoring. Of course, obviously, Faith threw the ball a ton. But great night. Not the only game of note in town.
Yeah, so if I already coined that game of the year, at least in the discussion, how about upset of league play? I think this team went down to maybe the upset of the year in week one, but the upset... One of the biggest upsets of the year has to be Coronado knocking off Green Valley, 28-21. Both of us had Coronado losing by multiple touchdowns. What happened here?
You know, Coronado's Coach Riddle says that, you know, they took great advantage of that bye week. They were able to go watch Green Valley play against Shap. You know, Shap kind of loosened them up a little, Case. But they found what he said was a way to beat them, and they executed their game plan. You know, they beat them straight up. It was a, you know, Coronado for the last, 5 years, give or take, 4 years, give or take, has been
performed below expectations.
Yeah, probably. They've been in last place of the Southeast, and they haven't had an I don't know if they've won a league game over that time. You'd have to look into that. I don't think they have. So this is a huge win for those kids. Program moving in the right direction. And what a night, and what does it do now to the Southeast? Is just wild, right? Because Liberty's got the loss on the forfeit, correct?
Yeah, so and now Green Valley's got a loss. Shap has the forfeit win, so that fourth spot all of a sudden is very much in doubt.
Basic has lost the game now. Foothill is sitting pretty, the only undefeated team left in the Valley after it. Great game, but battle for Boulder Highway was fun. Right?
20-17, Foothill wins the
very
end.
Bro, did you see
some
of those photos from that game?
I didn't, but I've been to some of those, and it always seems like one of the best attended games of the year.
Yeah, just Blakely, two touchdowns. Braden Wilson, big catch for Foothill. They're up 17-0, rolling, and then next thing you know, what happens? Here come the Wolves, baby, right?
Make things interesting. It's actually 21-17, too. I believe I said 20-17, but what a game.
Yeah, certainly. So...
I think it looks like they were up 14-0. Basic scored the next 17 points, and then Blakely had a late touchdown.
Yeah, so Keegan... let me go back to the Coronado game real fast.
Yeah, I wanted to do that
Samaje Bolin had a touch for the Cougs. Keegan Tharp, the quarterback, threw for a touchdown. They run that misdirection, so they don't get the pass much. very interesting. You ask how they won. Green Valley, which fell to 5-2, according to the internet, they had double the amount of yardage than Coronado. And as he's done all year, Noah Hawthorne had a great game on the ground, right?
Right, yeah. So
somewhere along the way, Kalijah Wally, 10 catches and a touchdown for the Gators. So somewhere along the way, of course, we weren't at the game, so we don't know how it broke down. We had a four-minute phone call with Riddle, but somewhere along the way, Coronado got fortunate with some turnovers.
Yeah, their first score is on a fumble recovery. A couple other things that stand out to me, too, is that speaking of somewhere along the way, I don't remember this, but you must have diminished high school kickers at some point, because we've heard from Lake Tahoe guy bashing about kickers. And this game, I think, shows you the value of a kicker, because it looks like Gavin Wale had 3 field goals, 1 from 48 yards. That's a way where you can overcome some of this yardage disadvantage if you get 9 points and have a great kicker like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was big as well.
I think my thing was, remember the Juarez kid from Motown hit that field goal?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that's tough if tough for a high school kid to hit a field goal. Tough for a Mojave kicker, right? Lower, you know, that's not exactly a special teams juggernaut over there. Have heard totally off topic now, but apparently Mojave on that game 2 weeks ago got in the field goal range courtesy of a bad call, 15-yarder and Eldo. So not that that matters. I don't know if the kid would have made it from 48 or whatever, but thought I'd put an asterisk on
they that. That's how they won?
That's how they won. Winner, yeah.
Games last a lot longer than just the end. So, Eldo, I mean, I always just hate boiling it down. That's always like a next day thing. Like, oh, they got this penalty. That's why they won. It's a long game.
It is a long
game. You had some opportunities to win. I think Eldorado Mojave's pretty evenly matched.
Mm-hmm.
If we ran it back again, we'd probably get another similar close result.
Yeah, totally agree with you. As we talk about this, this Green Valley game, I'm trying to pull up the stats on Max Preps real fast.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that the Keegan Tharp kid threw a touchdown. Looks like this box score, the other thing that jumps out to me about it, it's like that classic Arborview kind of when the Elder Bollinger was rolling and they'd catch teams off guard by, you know, throwing the football real effectively a few times. That's what this looks like for Coronado. You expect them just to run. It seems like they probably caught Green Valley off guard at the right times, and Tharp was able to have some success in the passing game.
Hey, CK, what position did you play in high school?
I mean, I played all over, but
did you ever defensive play on the end? Line?
Yeah, of course, offensive, always on the offensive line.
Did they have pancake blocks when you were a kid?
Yeah, of course.
Did you get any?
Of course.
Okay. I noticed on Max Preps they keep...
Oh, I don't know if we... Oh, I mean, our coaching staff probably kept them. I'm sure we didn't get it posted on the internet.
Well, on Max Preps, they keep pancake blocks.
Ah, okay.
Have you seen that one coach in Georgia, the video of that?
I don't think so. I think I saw this going. I might have been busy, but I saw it pop up on my timeline or something. I didn't
know. So whenever his kid
feeds him syrup, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah, I have seen that. Yeah, yeah.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I just had to refresh my memory.
That's great.
I don't know. I like syrup, but I need it with something. I don't want to just pour it into my mouth.
Well, yeah, but in the heat of the moment.
We had the old classic helmet stickers, which I'm sure a lot of people still do.
Did you get to keep your helmet?
I think you had to pay for it, and I actually didn't for some reason.
Okay. So would have looked good on your desk.
I have I have one of my youth football helmets.
Where at?
Somewhere in a box.
Yeah, bring that in one day.
Yeah, I should. I lived in Alabama, as you know, when I was a kid, and we had like a powerhouse youth team.
You were the Henderson Cowboys of Alabama.
Yeah, are the Henderson Cowboys really good?
I believe they are.
I played 4 years. We won 3 state championships. We got upset in the 4th one, but then I was leaving to move, and no one leaves Alabama. Pretty much everyone stays there. It was like so shocking that I was leaving at our end of the season ceremony. They had like a big part of it where they presented me with the helmet, and couldn't believe I was leaving. So that's
you
how
guys
I got
went over to
that
Chuck E. Cheese.
Probably.
I had a little.
I don't remember where it was, but that's as good of a guess as any.
All right, well, that was great to reminisce. So shout out to Coronado. They pulled one off, got a dub. And shout out to Foothill for another great battle for Boulder Highway. When Basic was ahead in that game late, I kept telling myself, I should have stayed with Basic. I should have stayed with Basic in the picks. What am I doing? What am I doing? Why do I let people talk me out of it? And then Foothill came back to get the dub, and I'm like, yeah.
I actually I always had the same thoughts. I think I misread. Maybe I saw like a basic tweet and it read to me like they won. And I was like, wow, I can't believe Brewer jumped off basic. Yeah. And now here they are. And then I don't. At some point, I realized that I was mistaken, and Foothill actually won a close game. So,
shout out to them.
It was a good one. Always good to see a good battle for Boulder Highway.
Okay, what about this one?
Okay.
Were you going to another game?
No. Go ahead.
Okay. Did you see the Moapa story?
Moapa saw the score.
Boulder.
They beat Boulder pretty badly, right?
They were up 2-0 on the kickoff. They got a safety on the kickoff.
A safety on the kickoff.
Yeah, have you
so
ever
the kid
seen...
run back into the end zone?
No. So Lewis was explaining to me where, and I got to get video of this. So when Boulder kicks off, they do something where one of the up guys or who, because I don't think you could kick that far in the three, but somehow one of the up guy gets it, and they always try to do like reverses or handoffs on the kickoff.
Oh, okay, right.
And the kid fumbled it and got kicked through the end zone.
Okay, that makes sense. But still, that's you're not going to see that very often.
Yeah. So, anyways, Moapa gets a 30-7 win. Luke Bennett 3 touchdown passes through the air, and my Pirates are rolling, baby.
Yep, looking pretty good.
Derek Reese, Josh Cox, and Chase Hoy with a touchdown. H-O-Y is Hoy, right?
Yeah, I thought I'd heard all the guys on that. I didn't know Chase Hoy, that's a new name, getting in on the action.
Yeah, so a shout-out to them. They survive in advance. How many times a year do I give you this theory? Is Moapa, the fact that they're not playing anybody's tough, is that going to hurt them when they have to play Truckee and Fallon?
Maybe, but I guess we'll just have to see when it happens. I mean, it certainly does seem like it's to a great extent this year. It seems like they're way ahead of everyone else they've played. Maybe by the time you play Fallon or Truckee, you're a little shell-shocked.
All right. Centennial, big dub against Shadow Ridge. They stayed alive for a playoff spot. Colton Tenney, the freshman, rushed and passed for a touchdown. Jordan Smith, 2 touchdowns for the Bulldogs. And I think in the loss, Cody Presser rushed for 2 and passed for 1, if my memory serves.
Yeah, close game. Looked like Shadow Ridge had a bit of a comeback attempt, but fell short 26-19. Only a couple other scores really stand out to me. I think this was your closer-than-you-think game of the week, and Palo Verde just smacked down Cimarron 37-3. And Thursday night, a game you said was going to be good, to your credit, and it looks like it was. Canyon narrowly edges Las Vegas 34-26.
Yeah, and Canyon had a little bit of a breakout performance by its running back / kick returner. So shout-out to Martin Blake. Had like a $150 in the dub against the Wildcats.
All right, well, before we get to the picks, one kind of a change of subject and note. If you're listening to this on Monday, make sure you follow along at 6 p.m. tonight. We have the Halloween Hoops All-Star Draft, where we coach all-star teams against each other.
Basketball
at Coronado as Brewer's pop-up ad.
I swear
for the record,
God,
none of the noises you hear on the podcast are ever me. Always 100%.
I'm so frustrated with all these right? You watch football. In the middle of Sunday night football, there's ads for the election, right?
Yeah.
It's driving me crazy. Now I go on Max Preps and there's a thing. anyways, 6 o'clock tonight, Halloween Hoops basketball draft.
Brewer won last year. I'll say it for him.
Brewer won last year. Case has got the first pick. I think I know who he's going to pick.
Probably. And I was really angry to see your text this morning, because last year I showed up and I was like, this is a snake draft, right? And all you guys are like, oh, this is for the kids. We don't need to do a snake draft. Just alternate. Yeah, I wake up this morning and click on the tweet that says I have the first pick, and Brewer is like, do I get 2 and 3? There's absolutely no way. I'm standing my ground on this.
Because I know who you're going to take.
Yes.
Because there's a clear one in town, right?
Yeah, and then there could be a debate for the two, right?
And that's the problem, because 1 and 3, you're going to get 2 really good players. And there's one player.
You get 2 really good players at 2 and 4, too.
There's
right?
one player I want nothing to do with, and I'm going to let him go to you.
You might have the leveling advantage here, because you seem to know, like, we both know who one is, but I don't know who you're referring to as all these other next kids. But
maybe my one is your two.
Also, you've credit. You gave a lot of credit last year to your assistant coach. Yeah, wanting to say Chad Beaton. So maybe he's going to help you.
We had a great time.
Maybe you lean on him a little bit.
We had a great time. Speaking of high school basketball, Saturday Nicholas went to the Foothill High camp. Had fun. Had a great time with Coach DeSantis, Coach Hughes, and Coach Garcia. Really impressed. They broke it up into stations and gave out certificates. And my kid, who has no hand-eye coordination, Case, drained a jumper to win a three-on-three game.
Wow.
At the buzzer, yeah. Lower hoops, like seven-inch hoops.
He's like 7 years old. So
7 years, yeah. It was huge. He probably wants nothing to do with basketball moving forward still.
You just said he had a great time. Still no basketball?
He had a great time at the end for the scrimmage. The other time he got hit in the chest with a ball because he wasn't paying attention.
Oh, okay. Well, good to hear. Good reports. And like we said, 6 o'clock tonight. Follow along live, I think, Halloween Hoops on Twitter. Or just check out our rosters at the end and let us know who has the advantage. Team Brewer, 1-0 lifetime.
We'll set the line, yeah.
All right. So on to the picks. This is going to be the first time I've looked at the slate this week. Brewer has told me that Week 9 is going to be one of the better ones. There's some competitive games. We'll start with Cimarron at Bonanza.
Yeah, the Thursday night game. Norwood is the real deal for Cimarron. Paolo kind of held him in check last week. He had over 100, but he had a lot of reps. I think in the TV game, he gets a dub against Bonanza.
Yeah, I think you got to go with Cimarron here. Could be a close game. But Norwood's going to be the best player on the field. I agree with you there. I'm going Cimarron. Green Valley at Liberty. Do the Gators bounce back after last week's loss?
Bad spot for Green Valley. Liberty's pissed because of they had to forfeit last week against Shap because of the fight with Desert Pines. The Patriots are well rested because they had a bye week. Obviously, there's no love lost between the two teams. Very curious to see if the lack of reps is going to hurt the Liberty quarterback, because you got to remember, he didn't play against IMG.
Played sparingly against Lone Peak.
What about the DB game?
The DP game?
Yeah, you were there.
He played.
Okay, and then he's had 2 weeks off. So a lot of inconsistencies with that Liberty offense that's kind of stuck in neutral, trying to get revved up. But I think they're fired up, and they're just going to run the rock straight forward.
Yeah, I might want to take a screenshot of the Southeast League standings right now, as it's kind of comical to see Liberty at the bottom, 1-4 technically right now. I don't think that's going to last very long, and I think that it only lasts till this Friday when they beat up on Green Valley. I don't see the Gators challenging the Patriots here. Maybe a closer game in this one. Durango on a roll, taking on Desert Oasis, who looks to be coming out of their roll. They were on a roll early, but now have lost a couple games.
Yeah, I think the Trailblazers are the second-best team in the Southwest. Initially, I pegged that for Sierra Vista, but that Sierra Vista Durango game is going to be good, but you definitely want to get the 2 because you avoid – you get a home game in the playoffs, and Durango's just been playing lights out. Dio is great against 3A teams where they should be. Haven't had any success against 4A teams. Durango's a 4A team. Durango gets the win.
I think this will be somewhat close, but I can't disagree. I got to go with the Trailblazers. Wouldn't be surprised if the Diamondbacks play a little bit better than we're expecting, though. Democracy Prep at Cheyenne.
Cheyenne. They're ready to roll. Democracy Prep is one of these teams that's like beat Coronado when they weren't supposed to. We do the 5 degrees of Kevin Bacon with Democracy Prep, right?
Yeah.
Because they beat Coronado, and now Coronado's beat GV.
They also beat Del Sol when no one really expected them to.
Yeah.
Del Sol's slipping, but still. And then they weren't really even competitive against Valley this last week.
Could you believe, and we're not even to their pick yet, Pahrump's going to win this league?
We didn't see that coming. That was definitely not in our preseason predictions.
No. But Cheyenne makes quick work of Democracy Prep.
Yeah, I've got Cheyenne, too. Can't make a case for the Blue Knights this week.
Hey, is there a team? Oh, what's Delaware's nickname? The Blue Hens?
Yeah, I believe so.
Initially, when I wrote the picks, I used Blue Hens instead of Knights.
I would like that. I don't think that would really fit in Las Vegas, but, hey, I'd be all for it. This one, speaking of games that could hold big weight in the standings, someone's going to kind of more or less take control of the Northeast going into an eventual matchup with Canyon Springs. And it's either going to be Desert Pines or Legacy.
When I started to think about this week's games last night, I was going to pick Legacy to beat Desert Pines. I've been high on Legacy all year. Legacy's getting healthy. The Holloway kid is a real deal player. You know, the Longhorns have won two in a row, right?
You've told me they're way healthier now.
I'm picking Legacy all the way until I get in front of my computer and I start thinking about it. And I'm like, huh, boy, Desert Pines just hammered Mojave. And I know it's only Mojave, but did they hammer Mojave, right?
60-13.
And I just think this is the Legacy's, I mean, this is Desert Pines' chance to say, hey, don't forget about us. We got all these D1 guys. We're going to be a factor. I think DP is fired up to go. They're ready to go. I think they make a statement 42-20. And that's my final answer.
Ooh, I still can't decide. I'm 50-50 on this game.
I know. Even in the preseason, I'm like, Legacy, Legacy, Legacy. Ice has got them rolling. Holloway, 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 Holloway. I mean, Holloway is like, I'm going to make a dumb comment here.
Okay.
He might be, and you know, Desert Pines is loaded with Jimmy's and Joe's, right?
I don't know if I'd say loaded. To me, they got like those 8 or 10 guys, but then
eight or ten.
But
dude,
beyond
that's
that,
loaded.
They have no. I guarantee you, Legacy has a way bigger roster and more depth
and bigger up front.
Yeah,
I think if Legacy's smart, they could push them around. I really do. I think if I'm Legacy, I don't want to tell Ice how to do his job. He's a professional football coach, and I'm a professional journalist, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not Legacy, are you not just pounding the rock over and over?
But
3 yards.
The problem with that is your boy Holloway's a receiver.
He's gonna return kicks, baby.
Strategy to beat you had me almost sold. Now your strategy is to hope he returns a few kicks.
No, we'll get him involved in the run game.
He has 2 carries on the year for 10 yards.
They're saving him for DP, bro. Here, listen. Is Holloway?
Balanced offenses, and I like when you get your best player the ball in space, and he is averaging 22 yards per catch this year. So how about we throw it to him instead of making him run up the
middle?
And
this is crazy because Tico's going to kill me. I could already see it on the text. Is Holloway going to be the best athlete on the field?
I was waiting for your crazy.
Well, I was trying to build it up a little bit.
I would say no way, no one's topping Darnell Washington, assuming he's eligible to play this week, because I know you said someone.
Yeah, he's ready to go.
Games.
He's
okay.
Ready to go.
All right.
He scored twice last week. Pick six.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was somebody else.
Pick six and a touchdown catch.
Yeah. There's not. There might not be. There's not a. I don't think there's any team in town, except for maybe the Fiesu kid. You could say that's a better athlete than
Zara's Fiesu.
Yeah.
You like that kid?
I was talking with some people on the sidelines. This wasn't my idea, but when it was said, I didn't disagree at all that he has a very likely chance to play on Sundays.
Okay, Rising Star Award, Sun Standout Awards, already booked for South Point. We'll be there. I think it's May 23rd.
Every year, whoever I vote for doesn't win this award. So,
but look at the category, right? Look at the great sophomore basketball players in town, right? Hardy,
mm-hmm.
Zion Collins,
right?
Frankie Collins.
Okay.
Fiesu.
Was he in it this year? Or did he not? Must not have gotten nominated.
Who's
I feel
that?
Like he could have won it. Fiesu could have been a finalist last year.
He might have been,
nominated.
But remember the Ma'a Gayle?
No, I remember he didn't win.
Yeah.
I don't think he was even a finalist, though. He was huge last year, even as a freshman.
Yeah, he was great. But, boy, there's a lot of good players in town.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, I don't know how we got off on all that, but I'm going to pick Legacy.
Okay, good.
I think they're going to run a balanced offense, and I think they're going to throw some screen passes to Aaron Holloway, and he's going to zip.
I just wish that game was closer to the house.
I'm really 50-50. I could see it going either way, but I'm going to go with Legacy here. So we're on a different side. We're on different sides of that one. Canyon Springs at Mojave.
Like I said earlier, Martin Blake, he had a breakout game on TV. I got the Pioneers 36-15.
Yeah, hard to disagree there. Canyon Springs for me. Basic at your Chaparral Cowboys.
Yeah. I hate how Shap is not a bad team, Case. Right?
Yeah, they're just kind of they're in a tough situation.
They're in a tough situation. Go easy on them, Cahill.
I got to agree. I think Basic's getting it together, as much as it pains me to say, because I know how high you are on Basic, and that was kind of our thing earlier in the year, is me going after you for that, but can't do it anymore. I think Basic is playing well, and it will continue this week. Sierra Vista at Bishop Gorman.
Yeah, this is could be Gorman's most stiff test in league play.
But you're on the Durango train.
It could be, Case. Could be. Okay. It means not is. Not is definitive.
I'm on Sierra Vista, this actually being their toughest test, for the record. I think Sierra Vista is the two in that league still.
Well, I think Durango's got 2 to 3 really special players, and Sierra Vista's got some problems running the ball.
Yeah, it'll be a good game, no doubt. But I'm sticking with Sierra Vista, except for in this
You're
game.
You're picking Sierra Vista over Gorman?
No, I'm sticking with Sierra Vista as the two. I said except for this game. I think that Gorman's got this one.
I agree.
All right. Clark hosting Moapa Valley.
Yeah, the Durango coach was raving to me about Clark on the phone. Toby Henry said that those kids play hard. I just don't see him beating my Moapa Valley Pirates.
I'm sure they play hard, have some talent, but they are 0-6. Moapa, I think, has won 6 in a row, maybe 7 in a row.
Yeah, they've played
But still, there's a pattern here, and the pattern is going to continue.
Okay, this is a step up in competition, all right?
You would think, certainly.
Okay. By the way, I don't want to go back 8 picks, but did we mention the Jerry Martin kid at all for Legacy?
No, it was all on Holloway.
Wow, Jerry Martin.
He was also very good.
Yeah, he only had 2 touchdowns last week.
All right, so strengthening my position on Legacy.
Yeah.
Can Coronado do it 2 weeks in a row and break Foothill's perfect record?
No.
I don't see it either. But
I said even worse now is that Foothill is going to be on upset alert because Coronado beat Green Valley despite being outgained by 200 yards. According to the internet.
Play good defense and get Wale in field goal range every time. Huh? Maybe you can win. No, I've got
Is it Wale or Whale?
See, I thought it was Whale, and then I thought that maybe I missed. Now you have me questioning. I thought it our thing. He said it. I'm pretty sure I did their interview at our media day, and I said Whale, and he said Wale.
Oh, well, sorry, Gavin. I've been calling you Whale for all this time. It's Wale.
Now you really have me second-guessing. You know I'm going to have to watch their video.
Hey, how many points did that kid have last week? Like 9 points?
Yeah, I think 9.
Okay, when they were, you know how kids run their mouth on Twitter all the time, right?
So I've heard. I don't really get into that, but yes.
Okay. Well, some Green Valley kids were like, ha, Coronado, you suck. Your best player is your kicker.
Huh. Yeah, well, good enough to beat you guys.
Yeah.
Tough. All right, Centennial at Palo Verde.
Oh, this is an interesting one, CK.
You keep it going. Know where you're going with this.
No, it's
fine. Every week. Hating on Palo Verde.
No,
your least favorite school in town.
No.
I think so.
I love everybody equally, except Shep. I love them a little more. I got another off-topic thing after this. So here's the deal. Centennial's got some Jimmies and Joes, bro. Right? They're just puppies. I think Centennial's got some momentum. I think the Tenny kid or Kenny kid or whatever his name is, the quarterback, I think he gets it done. I think that I just don't think Paolo could score like that.
37 points last week, 46 points 2 weeks ago.
Against whom? Tell me who they're playing.
Cimarron and Bonanza.
Okay, the slightly better team.
I'm sure Centennial has some teams like that on their schedule. They've scored 2. 34 on Coronado, 36 on Legacy.
Haven't played Bonanza yet.
No, haven't played Bonanza.
Nor Cimarron.
They beat Legacy 36-0, and I just picked Legacy.
Yeah, but remember,
Legacy still.
Legacy was beat up.
It's kind of hard to see that. All right. Well, looking at the schedules, I see where you're going with this. I think it's close. I just gotta go with
Roll Palo. I gotta go with Palo.
I think
we're supposed to disagree. That's the point of this.
They've got. You can convince me that the talent wise, Centennial might have more talent, but it's younger. I feel like Palo's been a little more seasoned, a little more experienced.
By the way, this used to be one of the best hated rivals of the world, right?
Maybe it's back on that this year.
Oh, I think after Ross left, that a lot of the rivalries
died.
Possibly, potentially.
Okay, well, I'm taking Palo Verde. Initially, I thought Palo Verde pretty easily, but I think I'm undervaluing Centennial this year. I saw them play a really good defense in Arborview, and they still even held their own in that game. I'm going to say Palo Verde in a close game. Brewer saying Centennial in a close game. This one I don't think will be a close game, even though every game this team plays is a close game. Trying to say close game as many times as I can. Virgin Valley, I think, beats up on Sunrise Mountain.
I agree. I think Virgin Valley's got a chance. I'm looking forward to the Hammer game, right?
Yeah, should be good. Mapa, I think's been significantly more impressive, but Virgin Valley is tough and gritty and
finding ways to get it done.
You could make a case they're stronger up front. I know they kind of pride themselves on that being their calling card. I didn't say they were stronger up front. I said you could make that case. I know that's what they talked about coming into the season, they're really strong up front.
And the Wyatt Delano kid is pretty good. He's been good. 2 touchdowns, 128 on the ground last week. He's the type of kid that could swing a 3A game in his favor.
Yeah, I agree. Should be a fun one. That's a few weeks away, though. Is it next week? Might even be next week.
Possibly.
It's close. Boulder City and Rancho. I've got Boulder City big.
As do I.
Okay. This game, we spoke about the one time I went to Faith Lutheran earlier, and I think it was for this game. Shadow Ridge and Faith Lutheran a couple years ago. This year it's at Shadow Ridge, but we thought it was going to be the game of the week back then, I remember. It was like two teams that were really on a roll, and Faith Lutheran just destroyed them. I think the same might have happened last year. Can Shadow Ridge turn the tide? Can they get an upset over Faith Lutheran this year?
I think that Faith Lutheran's going to have a little bit of a hangover from the Arborview game. Very physical game. You got an opponent that you could potentially overlook. I think that also Shadow is basically a mini version of Arborview, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Faith will be prepared to at least face the misdirection attack. But I think that this is going to – Faith wins. I think it's close, though, because they're beat up. They're still licking their wounds.
Yeah, I got to say, I don't hate that theory. I can't get out of my head that it seems like Faith destroys them every year. And I'm disappointed with Shadow because I went with them to knock off Centennial last week. And they let me down. I've got to go with Faith here. And I'll say a little less close than Brewer is going. This one, though, I know you're going to pick closely, and I can't agree more. Spring Valley at Silverado.
Yeah, I had a hard time figuring this game out. Silverado still looking for its first league win, as is Spring Valley. These two teams appear to be evenly matched, right, Case?
Certainly, both 2-4 on the year.
Both having a hard time putting points on the board. I'll take the Hawks.
Whew. This one, I'm really struggling with, too. Spring Valley might have some of the worst losses. I mean, they lost 36-14 to Coronado, who hasn't exactly been lighting the world on fire offensively. They lost 47-0 to Durango, who I know we're high on, but still. Silverado lost 33-0 to Durango, so basically the same thing. Silverado did beat Coronado, however. Silverado looks a little bit better to me on paper. I can't disagree with you here. I'm going with the Skyhawks.
Hey, I'm not to get off topic, but I'm reading this Q&A with Will Hernandez in the New York Post.
Oh, okay.
Will Hernandez, the Shap grad who plays for the New York Giants.
Second round pick.
Yeah, talking about what he likes to eat, blah, blah, blah. He's like, Wingstop.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, and like some barbecue. One of the hardest things for me to accept in life is when we broke up with Wingstop.
Can we still say Wingstop on the podcast? I guess it's too late now.
I'm starving like Marvin for those fries with cheese sauce. Anyways, go ahead.
All right. Western at Pahrump Valley. We know Pahrump never loses in Pahrump, let alone to Western.
Yeah, shout out to Pahrump for its season. They've been amazing, right, Case?
Yeah, like you said, they're in position unless they, you know, succumb to some crazy upset these next 2 weeks, in position to win the Sunset.
Yeah, and who knows, they could. I mean, you have to remember when they leave the hump, anything can happen. They're only 4-3 on the year. But Western's coming to their house, and
yeah, they've got Western and Valley remaining though, so I think they should be safe here. I've got Pahrump.
That game's at Valley, Case.
Oh, you're back on the Valley
bandwagon. I'm not back on the Valley bandwagon.
Four and four. They haven't been bad, and they do have one terrific player, at least, in Bryce Jones.
And that game's at Valley.
Yeah. All right. Well, don't give them the division. You're the one that gave them the league to begin with. You said, can you believe they're going to win that league?
Well, even if they tie Cheyenne, they got the tiebreaker, baby.
Yeah, that's true.
Come on.
All right. What if it's a three-way tie, though? Does Valley only have one league loss? No, they got to have two, I think. Nope, they're 2-1.
Yeah, this is interesting.
That brings us into this game, Valley at Del Sol. So I think I was right in the end. You shouldn't be giving them the league if you think they're going to lose to Valley.
Well, they're going to beat Del Sol. I mean, they're going to get beaten by Del Sol.
Okay, you've got Del Sol bouncing back this week?
Definitely.
I could see this one being close. Yeah. I don't see a blowout here.
We've been historically wrong on this league all year.
And Del Sol specifically.
Yes.
As soon as we jumped on the bandwagon, they fell off. When we were off the bandwagon, they were rolling. So who knows with Del Sol. But I don't see 34-8. That's what you have it. I'm going to say Del Sol in a close game. Bryce Jones too good to pick to get blown out in that spot. For me, El Dorado at Las Vegas, final game of the week 9 picks.
Could I go back one game here real fast?
Okay.
Let me pull up my phone. Oh, boy. Hold on. CK, I want to give one other kid a shout out. I apologize. Seth Jarrett.
For who?
So, in my game story on Valley, I got two kids mixed up. Seth Jarrett and Jarrett Zybert. Same spelling on the last name, but Seth Jarrett had 3 interceptions for the Vikes, and Jarrett Zybert had 2 touchdown throws, and he ran one. And Seth is a player.
Well, sounds like both of them are players. They both did some stuff.
Yeah, but Seth is a player.
Seth Jarrett, though, 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so shout out to those guys. I think with the Jarrett brothers, I know they're not brothers, first name and last name, but I think they're going to keep it close. I'm tempted to even pick them, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going with Del Sol. El Dorado at Las Vegas. This could be a playoff game, right? I mean, to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, this is crazy how everything's shaken out. Vegas is kind of fallen on hard times. El Dorado, very improved. The Jalen Malone kid had another touchdown on last Friday against My Legacy Longhorns. That's 6 touchdowns for him on the year, and he's rushed for a ton of yards. He went he's got 827 yards on the year. Gosh darn it, Case. I don't know that. Yeah, I'm picking Vegas, and I'm going to stay with Vegas. But I think this game's going to come down to the end, right? I mean,
I don't know. I'm a little more confident in Vegas. You're talking about your guy that has 6 touchdowns. What about my guy for Vegas? Jashawn Scroggins has 16 touchdowns.
He's a sophomore.
On the year.
He's good.
Sophomore, dual threat quarterback.
I'm picking Vegas. I'm not picking Vegas. I'm just saying when I look.
I don't even think there's that strong of a case to be made for El Dorado, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but they've been. I mean, come on. Vegas isn't knocking anybody out.
Yeah, no, not knocking them out, but I think that this game will be decided by the fourth quarter.
You think so?
Yeah, all maybe right. Not halftime, but okay. Fourth quarter. I think Vegas wins by about 2 scores. So we're in agreement there. Two differences this week as we wrap up the podcast. Centennial and Palo. I've got Palo. Brewer's got Centennial. And Legacy Desert Pines. I'm going with the home team, the Longhorns. Brewer couldn't quite pull the trigger and is sticking with the Jaguars.
Yeah. I agree.
All right. Well, next week.
I wish that Legacy Desert Pines game was in Henderson. Could we go neutral site?
I doubt it. I think it's a little late now. Okay. Prep Sports Now. We'll be back next week to break down this pretty exciting slate and be so close to the playoffs, then it'll be crazy. Hammer game, too, as well. For Ray, I'm Case. Thanks for listening, as always.